Amen. Indeed, if we take the time and lift up our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, He's promised that He would draw all men unto Himself. Once again, it is good to see each and every one of you. I hope and pray all is well with you. Do want to remind you and encourage you that our days on this time side of life is only but for a moment. And so therefore, if it's only for a moment, I want to encourage you and remind you, make your calling and election sure, so when you stand before His judgment seat, you can hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In John chapter 4, and round about verse number 24, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 6 and verse number 38, Jesus said, "I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him who has sent me." And in John chapter 9 and verse number 4, Jesus said, "I must work the work of Him who has sent me while it is day, for the night shall come when no man can work." And in John chapter 12 and round about verse number 30, the Bible says, And Jesus answered and said, "This voice that you heard, it was for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself." Very powerful passage of scripture, because Jesus, as He's prepared to leave this time side of life, He realized and He reminds His disciples, "Lift up my name and I'll take care of everything else." Title of the lesson is, "I love the cross. That's why I do what I do." I love the cross because it's in the cross that I have eternal life. In John chapter 3 and verse number 16 and 17, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And the Apostle Paul would echo those very words. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, Paul said, "Ending while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died." And church, that's what motivates me. That's what drives me, is to know that my Lord and Savior left the riches of heaven, came down, suffered on a cruel cross, that I might have the right to the tree of life. That's what drives me. That's what motivates me, to know that Jesus did it all for me. He can do it for you too if you let Him. But He did it for me. And so therefore, I'm in a constant state of trying to repay a debt that I know good and well I cannot pay. But that doesn't mean I don't try to pay it. Why? Because He paid the ultimate sacrifice. In our lesson text here, there, Jesus writes, says these words to remind the believer of how important it is in your Christian walk that you stop and you take the time and focus on who you really are. We are children of the Most High God. We are a royal priesthood, church. We are a holy nation. We are peculiar people to the world in which we live in. But thanks be to God that in His eyesight, we're everything He wants us to be. And so somewhere down the line, this got to click. And it's got to click to the point to where it caused you to separate yourself from the world, from the cares of this world, and say, "Lord, here am I. Send me." Amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, and round about verse number 9, I'm giving roses out this morning. Anybody want one? That's right, I'm giving out roses this morning to remind us, to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. You've been saved, but for one purpose, and that's to help somebody else to be saved. And as you have been saved, you need to understand something about why you were saved. Not because you deserve it. You've been saved because you've obeyed from the heart. Romans chapter 1 verses 16 and 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4, you have obeyed from the heart the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because you have obeyed that, guess what? You don't have any choice but to walk right. You don't have, amen, walk. Amen. You don't have no choice but to live right. Why? Because you say you are a Christian, that says you're what? Christ-like. How was Christ on this time side of life? Christ, the Bible said he did everything to please his Father. So as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, nothing or no one can stop us in our Christian walk. And I'm learning that if I just let go and let God have full control of my life, I will do the things that God would have me to do because I know who's on my side. Who's on your side this morning? Huh? Who's on your side? I know, Greg, your mom's on your side. Your dad's on the other side. But really, who's on your side? And somewhere down the line, you got to ask yourself a question. If God is on my side, it ought to be evident to everybody I come in contact with who's on my side.
Amen.
Amen. On my job, they know who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. Why? Because I carry myself in a Christ-like atmosphere. I live my life in a Christ-like manner. Y'all quiet this morning. This is supposed to build you. Because church, when we understand who is really on our side, this Christian walk becomes a little easier. And then when you got brothers and sisters that are walking the same way you're walking, man, it just makes life a whole lot easier to overcome. It doesn't mean it's going to take away the pain and the suffering that you go through death and trials and tribulation. But you know what makes it easy? Is to know that I got somebody that understands me. Just like I have a high priest that understands me. See, in our Christian walk, nothing can hinder us or stop us but ourselves. But I'm learning if you get out of the way, boy, God will work miracles through you.
Amen.
That you can't even begin to imagine. In Romans chapter 8, and round about verse number 28, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. See, when we understand the purpose of our existence on this time side of life, life will take on a whole new different meaning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God who has reconciled you to himself and have committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. And if we're an ambassador, let me ask the question. How many of y'all would be fired? Huh? Are you a true ambassador holding up the banner of the cross? Or have you lowered the flag and decided that you want to be an ambassador in name only? I just asked the question, y'all. You answer that. In Romans chapter 8, and round about verse number 30, listen to what Paul says. Verse 31, he says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with us freely give all things? And verse 33, he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it not God that justifies? Who is he that can condemn? Is it not Christ that died, yea, rather, has risen again, is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us? Verse 35, Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he gives this grocery list. Shall tribulations? You know, sometimes when things happen, you just throw up both hands, don't you? Don't know which way to go. But Paul says, in the midst of trials and tribulations, that ought to make us stronger. Amen. And all the difficulty that we face on this time side of life, boy, we ought to be shining like true lights. But what are we? Flickering like the lights in the ceiling. Because we really don't understand who we truly are. Paul here says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations? Shall death? Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of swords. As is it written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Yea, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And I like verse 37, because that gives me the confidence. That gives me the reassurance that when you don't want to do it, I got somebody that wants to do it with me.
Amen.
And that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul says, nay, in all of these things, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And then look at the mindset that Paul displays after he shows them that you have the victory. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Neither height, nor depth, neither any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You talk about a mindset. You talk about an individual that knows something about who he is and where God is. That ought to be us, church. What can separate? What can hinder us? Nobody but yourself. Get out the way. And if you don't get out the way, you can just stay in the way, and I've just gone on around you anyway. Why? I'm convinced that nothing can separate us. And I wonder why Paul uses death as the first thing that'll separate us. See, because most of y'all are like Rover anyway. I didn't say that, huh? We can be like Rover. I put it that way. We can be dead all over. But Paul here shows this attitude. And church, and that's the type of mindset that I'm trying to develop. The mindset that nothing can stop us but me. And if I get out of the way, with your help, if I get out of the way, what can stop us? Nothing. Jesus took two men and turned the world upside down with this same gospel that is being preached over 2,000 years later. He took these same words and converted entire cities. And we have a difficult time converting one. Why? Same word, same spirit. The problem is we just got to get out the way. But that's not part of the lesson, but that don't cost you nothing. See, I love the cross because it's in the cross that I do what I do. And the cross, the mindset of the cross, is what you and I must develop if we're really going to be what God would have us to be. The mindset of the cross, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself. Maybe that's the problem. He made himself. You know how we like to make ourselves to be something when we're nothing. And we deceive ourselves and we're really nothing from the beginning. Come on, y'all. The Bible said he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus was willing to sacrifice all simply because his father said, I need a sacrifice. And all he asked of you and I is to sacrifice our lives in service to him. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God, if he wanted the graveyard, he would send them to the graveyard.
Amen.
Are we in the graveyard, just don't know it? Are we like Rover? Because Rover was dead all over. Can you be sitting here and be like Rover? Yeah, you can. But the Bible teaches us, church, that he's given us everything we need. And that's why I glory in the cross. Because it's in the cross that you and I, if we let go and let God perform his miracles in our lives, he'll first and foremost transform our households. Amen. Amen. Do the household need to be transformed? Yes. Men need to put on his big pants and step up to the plate.
Amen.
But you can't step up what you don't know what to step to.
Amen.
That's why Peter says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. The more knowledge you get of what God wants you to do, the more you step up. See, we're trying to get a quick fix. You know, social workers are trying everything they can to get people to take care of their children. The world we live in is trying to get everything the right way. Until the world we live in returns to Jehovah, until the people of Jehovah return to him, you're going to have chaos just like we have it today. And if you don't think it's going to get worse, you just hold on. You just hold on.
Amen.
You might get somebody in that White House, but be just like them judges. See, Israel complained to God. We want to be like all the other folk. Isn't that us? Huh? But Peter says we're a holy generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into a marvelous light. Jews had a problem. We want a king just like all the other kings. We want a judge just like all the other judges. God told the prophet, give it to him. Solomon, give the people what they want. And you tell them in the process of getting what you want, this is what they're going to do to them. And guess what happened? They did exactly what God said they were going to do. Judges chapter 21 and round about verse number 25 is a very present application to the day society we live in. In those days, there were no kings. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. You don't see that today? Even in the body of Christ. I wished I could just do anything I wanted to do for the Lord, but I can't. I must be true to his word. I must be true in the things that I say and do. And I must preach the gospel regardless whether you want to hear it or not, because that's what he's called me to do. It's the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. And when one obeys from the heart this gospel and is buried into the watery grave, God adds him to the kingdom, which is the church, which is the body of Christ, and he washes away all of his sins. When I heard that some 20-some years ago, I told a man, take me to the water, because I was filthy. Amen. Paul said he was chief among sinners, and I was his right-hand man. And he cleaned me up, put a Bible in my hand, and he said, don't worry about what they think about you. But son, you're free from the shackles of this world. A couple quick points. Message is yours. When we draw close to Jesus, he will work miracles in our daily lives. Amen. When we draw close to Jesus, he'll work miracles in our daily life. Right. It was the wisest man on the face of the earth said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make his enemies be at peace. Yeah. That same man goes on and say, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll even give him the desires of his heart. Amen. So who do you want to please? Church, I'm learning to please God. And see, the more you draw closer to God, the more God changes your life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. When you draw close to God, he changes your speech. That's right. Paul reminds the church at Philippi. He says, only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, striving together for the gospel. See, he cleans you up. And when he cleans you up, he cleans up your language. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Paul says, walk in wisdom toward those that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how you ought to answer every man. See, when you draw close to God, not only does he clean up your speech, he cleans up the household. Amen. Boy, I'm learning that, boy, when I just let him clean me up, the house just falls right in order. Boy, you know, and I like my house because we fuss, fight, complain, and debate with one another. But the bottom line, God stands supreme. And see, and that's what it's all about, church, is knowing that the God of heaven stands supreme in our lives. Paul would say these words in Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 25. He says these words to remind the believers to stay on track. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, cleanse it, and wash it with the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing. And you think that's not enough? He goes on to say, so men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man has ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord. For we are members of the body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, be cleaved. Sound like a marriage vow, don't it?
Right.
Well, verse 31 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's why I love the church. That's why I love the cross. That's why I'm willing to do whatever it takes for the body of Christ. Why? Because I'm Christ's bride. Point number two, when you draw close to Jesus, you got to learn to trust him no matter what transpires. And that's sometimes a difficult way. But the wise man Solomon would say, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And see, and the only way you can trust God is you got to have his kind of mindset. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. You got to realize that in order for me to really trust the Lord, I got to forget some things that are behind me, and I got to constantly reach forward. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, go to work. Amen.
Amen.
Not for the man, but for the man. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, work out your own soul's salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And the final point, when you draw close to Jesus, it'll be evident in your everyday life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and round about verse number 24. See, when you draw close to Jesus, I don't need a bumper sticker. I don't need a sign.
All right.
See, when you draw close to Jesus, your speech will automatically change.
Amen.
Your life will take on a whole new meaning. And it's no longer about what I have. It's about who I am for the Lord. And see, when you really get to that point, when death knocks on your door, you're ready. Because you understand who you really are. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 24. Paul says, a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they might recover themselves out of the snares of the devil, who have taken captive by him, at his will. See, a true servant of God knows exactly what his responsibility is. Jesus said, the harvest is truly plentiful. Question to you, are you a true laborer in the vineyard? And if not, repent, get on the right track. It's just that simple. I want to encourage you and remind you, church, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. Remember that we are the light of the world. We are the ones that are set on a hill that cannot be hid. Let our light so shine that the people in Apple Valley may see it and make the turn from darkness to a marvelous light. Because God has given us everything we need to succeed.
Amen.
If I was to give you everything you need to be happy on this time side of life, I wonder what you would say. You have one thing to be happy on this time side of life. Some would say, I need money.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Everybody think you'd be happy with money, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question you have to ask. What do I need on this time side of life to make me happy and joyous? And see, and if you don't say Jesus, then I understand why sometimes you're miserable, wretched. Y'all quiet.
Amen.
You're quiet. Because church, it's only in Christ Jesus that we can be successful in anything we accomplish. Let me show you. Final passage. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says in verse number 3, according to his divine power has given unto us all things. I told you. If he's given us all things, what's the problem? Don't want his things, huh? It won't get you nowhere. Yes, it will. He says, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have been called up, that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love, and to love, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, things ye shall never. And I know that's a word we don't use in our vocabulary, but that's some evidence there that if we do what God says, he says, you will never fall. I'm going to let you chew on that for a minute. Verse 11 says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I leave here, you don't have to have no flowers. Because that passage of scripture there tells me that if I live my life the way he commands, not only am I going to be with the Lord and Savior, it's going to be an abundant host that's going to take me. See, that's shouting time there. Amen. An abundant host that's going to come and take me on to glory. You looking at me funny, Luke? There's a Bible for that. Luke chapter 16. Lazarus and the rich man. The Bible says Lazarus, the rich man, died and was buried. Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. So when I leave this time side of life, I know the heavenly pallbearer is coming to take me on to glory.
Amen.
And church, that's the confidence that we need to have on this time side of life. So when things get difficult, we can cry out, Abba, Father, help us. And guess what? He sends angels. Y'all looking? Y'all don't have angels around you?
Amen.
Well, I do. Angel there, a couple angels in the back. Angels over here. Y'all over here. Hope I said something to encourage your heart this morning, church. I don't know about you. This is his year that we need to really step up and really show the world where we live that he's alive and well. When a world we live in has no clue on the direction they want to head, God's people ought to be able to say, this is what we need to do. And you know, and there are some folks that are saying that, but they're just not saying it loud enough. That's our job. We can make the difference in the lives of everybody we come in contact with. But first and foremost, it's got to make the difference in our lives. Members of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you and challenge you. I want to warn you, just like Jesus warned the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, in that day, many is going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not in thy name cast out devils, did many wonderful works? And he's going to say, depart. It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. And Jesus reminds us that the gate is a narrow way in. And I don't know about you, I plan to be in the front line. So if you're in the line with me, I might push you out of the way, but I'm going to make sure I'm going to get in.
Amen.
And church, the way you make sure you get in, stay with the book. Follow Jesus Christ. Because in the final analysis, he's the one that's going to offer salvation. I'm going to be in the same line you're going to be in.
Amen.
But I'm going to try to get ahead of you in case you have something to say. But it ain't going to matter because he knows the record. If you're here this morning, not a member of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you this morning. You've heard the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4. The gospel is about the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you obey from the heart that doctrine by hearing the word, Romans 10, 17. By believing that this is the inspired word of God, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And then by repenting of your sins, Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. And then confessing that he is the Son of a living God. We'll bury you in water for the remission of your sins. You come up out of the water. The Bible says you're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. He's washed away all of your sins. And he's added you to the body, which is the church, which is the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and